Pastor Tony shared a message last Sunday titled Defined by God. And really, this was totally unplanned, but it really set the stage for this whole series that we're doing. We're doing a series titled Shape, and it's in the next 5 weeks. But it really set the stage. So really, I look at it like almost like a six-week series. If you missed the message last Sunday, I want to encourage you to really, really take time and listen to that message. Because when you realize what God says about you and the plans he has for you, man, it's amazing, all right? And so I think it was a very natural step to come into this series. We didn't plan it that way. It just happened like that. So I don't know if you saw the signs around the building called What Shape Are You? All right? And I know some people got nervous, all right? Because they thought we were going to talk about body shape. I mean, the pear, the diamond, the athletic. You know about the lollipop, anyway? The lollipop is a skinny person with a big head, you know? And so, yeah. But we're not going there today, okay? So you can breathe easy. We're talking about shape, okay? Now, this came out of Rick Warren out of Saddleback Church in California. Several years ago, he put this acronym together. And really, he saw it as a tool to help believers, individuals, find and discover their shape for ministry. And now we're excited here at Integrity Church about this series and the assessment tools that are going to go with it. So every week after the sermon, when it's posted up online, there'll be an assessment that you can take that deals with the topic. I want to encourage you to do that. I think that the best part of what's going to happen is not going to be here on Sunday. In this sermon, it's going to happen when you sit down and you begin to take that assessment and begin to look at that. I think that that's when the real ministry time is going to happen. So, and so we're excited about that because it empowers us and helps us discover what God has called us to do and what He's called us to be. And there's five ways that God has shaped you, and this is where we're going the next 5 weeks. S stands for spiritual gifts. What gifts has the Holy Spirit given you and I to serve Him? H stands for the heart. What do I have a passion for and what do I love to do? There was a young man that came on the outreach yesterday. I haven't seen him. He was the son of one of the guys that comes here. I haven't seen him in 10 years. So I says, hey man, what's happening? What are you doing? He said, I'm doing what I love to do. That just made my heart happy. He said, you know, I'm doing what I want to do. And that's really, we got to find our passion and our love for things. A is for abilities. What talents and skills do I have, or what things have I learned that I can bring to the table? Personality. Where does my personality best suit me to serve? And E is for experiences. What experiences have I had in life? Every experience and situation, circumstance that we go through in life, God wants to use in some way. All we have to do is give it to Him and allow Him to do that. So kind of quoting Rick Warren out of the Purpose Driven Life book, he says, God planned exactly how he wanted you to serve him. And then he shaped you for those tasks. You are the way you are because you were made for a specific ministry and purpose. Whenever God gives you an assignment, he always equips us with what we need to accomplish it. This custom combination of capabilities is called your shape. And so that's what we're going to be looking at. And I want to say, if you're going to get the real benefit of this, you really got to take in the full 5 weeks. If you can't be here, check it out online or whatever. And like I said, there'll be some things that go along with it to help us do that. So we've titled the message, Unwrapping Your Spiritual Gift. We all love gifts. Some of you love to give gifts and some of you love to receive gifts. I like getting gifts. I mean, you know, no problem. You want to give me a gift, I'm not going to argue with you about it, all right? But let me give you a little insight into Christmas time in the Summers home, all right? And this is going back a number of years. Now, I have three sons. I actually have four. Justin's sitting in the front, but he wasn't part of that at the time because he wasn't even born yet. So here's how it went. So on Christmas Eve was always busy. I mean, church life, you got a service to go to, and you come home and eat, and we finally settled on doing Chinese food because it just made sense. My wife couldn't be home cooking and be at service at the same time, so we'd have our Chinese food. And the kids were allowed to open one gift on Christmas Eve. They could pick whatever they wanted. They usually went for the big one, you know, because they thought that was the best. So then they go to bed, Christmas morning would come. So when they went to bed, my wife and I would organize the gifts. We'd make the three different piles, okay, so they wouldn't have to tear through everything, and this is your pile, and this is your pile. So then, and then when they woke up in the morning, they had to wait upstairs until we were ready to allow them to come down. So I can still see their faces sitting at the top of the stairs. You ever see a kid with anticipation? I was like, you guys ready? They're like, yeah, okay, five more minutes. But they were ready to come down. Now, you'd think that, you know, with three boys, they would tumble down the stairs and knock each other down and push each other out of the way. But no, they came down in a kind of organized fashion. The excitement was there. When they hit that bottom step, it was, you know, no, nothing held back. They were running now, you know. But they'd go in and they'd open their gifts. And, you know, gifts are great because most of the time we don't know what's in the package. And then we discover it when we open it up. And I believe that this is going to be part of what we do in the next 5 weeks, that we really open some gifts up and really discover who we are and what God has for us. And I just want to encourage you, if you're a student or a young adult sitting here today, I think that this series could really be significant for you. Because when you better understand how God shaped you and what he shaped you for, it helps you make those kind of future decisions that you make. I know it's difficult when you know, people ask you when you graduate high school, so what do you want to be? You know, and some of us, we went through this. I mean, we thought we knew what we wanted to be. All right, I'm still trying to figure it out, so come on. But anyhow, as God shows you what your gifts and abilities are, that you can begin to make decisions and begin to plan around those gifts so you can maximize everything that God has for you. And I love what Pastor Tony said last week to the older folks. He said, you'll never be too old to fulfill God's plan for your life. And that's true. So whatever stage you're at, God has a plan and a purpose for our lives and gifted us for that. So the three really major goals that we want to try to accomplish in this message today. First, we want you to know what your spiritual gifts are. Now, we're not going to take the time to define what they are because you're going to discover those for yourself, all right? But we want you to know what those gifts are. And as we go on, you'll realize that every one of us is gifted today. Second thing is we want you to discover which spiritual gifts you do possess. What are the things that God has gifted us with? And the third thing is we want you to discover how to use your spiritual gift for service to the Lord and really being a blessing to others. And so in order to help you do that, we've provided this spiritual gift inventory that will be available to you. And if you're watching online, you can take it also. Because here's what's going to happen. So once the sermon is posted online, if you go to the link, and Tom will explain this to you because I don't totally understand it. You go to the link for sermon, and then there'll be a place where you can click on where you can actually take a spiritual gift assessment or inventory. Now, we've given you the short version, all right? But also in that, there's other links of free online assessments that you could take. I'd encourage you to take the short version and then take the long version, too. It's only, I think one is 90 questions, the other is 115 or whatever. Those are free to you. But I'd encourage you to do that. And I'd encourage you furthermore that after you do that, that you give the assessment to someone else and ask them to take it for you. All right? What are the things that they see in your life? Now, I didn't realize you're kind of opening up yourself here now, okay? But you know what? When you begin to look at the gifts that God has given you and you begin to realize the gifts that other people see in you, then it kind of confirms what your giftings are. So you'll be provided with those online links there that'll help you consider your gifts. And this is really important, especially if this is like a new concept to you. You never really have experienced this at all. I think it would really be good. And speaking about spiritual gifts is no simple subject. There's plenty of beliefs and opinions about the subject. Sensationists believe that the certain sign gifts, like speaking in tongues and interpretation and healing and those things like that, miracles, they believe that they were given for a season and that those gifts ended in New Testament times. All right? And then you got the continualationists would believe that all the gifts named in the Bible continue today. Okay, our position here is in the churches that all the gifts are still available and still useful, and God is still giving them. Okay, And we could spend weeks looking into each gift, and that's not really our intent, because I really believe that, you know, if you'll take time to take that assessment, you'll find your gift or gifts in that. And I'll say this, that three things will happen when you find out the truth about your spiritual gift and you ignore that gift. All right? And that can happen. You know, you can make a discovery about yourself and just decide, you know what? I'm not going to do that. All right? Three things will happen. First of all, there's sometimes wasted effort when people try ministries in areas they're not gifted for. Okay? They get frustrated, they confuse, burn out, they become ineffective. So if you've experienced that in church life, maybe that's not the place that God has for you. But don't quit there. All right? Let's go on to discovery. Sometimes there's wasted effort when people try to minister in those areas. And then there's the unused potential. And I really believe that there's a great many people that are here today that really want to serve the Lord, but they're just not sure what they're supposed to be doing or how to do it. And then sometimes ministries, you'll see they prosper because the person with the right spiritual gift is involved. Well, sometimes ministries flounder and eventually die because they lack the proper gifted leadership. So it's just not that we have, you know, opportunities to serve. Let's find out where we really serve the best and where God has gifted us. Pastor Tony Monterano, some of you know him, he's spoken here before. Years ago, he was upstate at a church in Rochester, and he began this ministry to single-parent families called CHIPS, Christ Helpers in Parental Strife. And it was an awesome, awesome program. And so we actually, with permission from him, brought it down here to Long Island. We started using it in the church we were at. Now, he made it very clear that if you signed up for this ministry, if you didn't have the gift of mercy, don't sign up, because you won't make it, all right? Now, I come from a single-parent family, so I can kind of speak to that, all right? And I'm not saying that all single-parent families struggle and have difficulties, whatever, but when you got a mom or a dad who's raising kids by themselves and playing two roles and, you know, the frustration, nobody to, you know, like they used to do wrestling, they used to tag the guy and then the new guy come in. Well, you don't have that at home, and you're nobody's tagging you or helping you out. Man, you know, there's a lot of frustration there. And then you got kids that, man, they're off the wall sometimes, you know? They're angry, things going on in their life. When you put a whole group of people together like that, man, you got to have the gift of mercy, all right? Or you're not going to make it. You're going to get totally frustrated and discouraged along the way. So I appreciated that he pointed that out. And my prayer is that God will use this sermon somehow to ignite many to discover and use the spiritual gifts that God has given them. So let's answer a few questions about the spiritual gifts. Okay, what is a spiritual gift? Now, unfortunately, again, there can be a lot of different ways to deal with this. There's a lot of confusion that goes around with the gifts. And some people think that a spiritual gift is the same as a natural talent, like playing the piano or throwing a football or painting or cooking or baking, whatever. All right. All of us were born with natural intrinsic giftings. What I mean by this is there's things that all of us do or are able to do that come very easy to us. Maybe easier than the person sitting next to you. And maybe it was in school. Maybe you were gifted in math or science. I can tell you right up front, that wasn't my gifting, all right? But maybe that comes so easy to you. Maybe when you see a math formula, man, it's just like, bam, it clicks, and you're off and running, and you got it, okay? Maybe it had to do with art or sports. Maybe, you know, you were born with the kind of giftings of personality types or drives or passions or zeal. And we're going to talk about more of that as kind of the weeks develop. But there's reason why you love the things that you love to do. And when I talked to this young man yesterday that I hadn't seen in about 10 years, he came with his dad to the outreach, and I said, hey, man, what are you doing with your life? And he says, man, I'm doing what I love to do. I finally found what I love to do, and I'm doing it. I was so excited for him because now he gets up for work every day, and he's passionate about what he's doing, and he's happy doing it. All right, now I know sometimes circumstances kind of, you know, don't warrant that. You got to go to work. I know my mom, she wanted to be an art teacher. That was her dream. She was a single-parent mom raising three boys. She had to work, couldn't go to school. But I want to tell you something. Those artistic talents came out in everything that she did. She was involved in church, teaching children. Man, you should have saw her room. It was like amazing when you walked in there. She decorated the thing. And then when it came to school projects, I always got an A on school projects when we had to do it because my mother helped me, all right? I remember one time we did this thing on George Washington. And the cover of my report was, well, she got cotton, and we made George Washington's hair and his beard. I mean, it was like, when the teacher saw it, she couldn't believe it. I got an A. So my mother's artistic talents came out, okay? But there's a reason why you love the things you love, all right? And these are different from spiritual gifts, okay? When the spiritual gifts, they're not intrinsic natural gifts, but they're gifts that the Holy Spirit puts into our lives. So just for definition's sake, let's define a spiritual gift. A spiritual gift is God's given ability which enables a believer to effectively serve the body of Christ. I'll say that again. A spiritual gift is a God-given ability which enables a believer to effectively serve the body of Christ. And spiritual gifts are given, which is why in 1 Peter 4:10 it says, God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. It's not something that we earn. It's not something that we apply for. A spiritual gift is an ability. What it means is it qualifies you to do something that you're really not capable of doing within yourself. All right? Now, spiritual gifts are, and we see very clear in Scripture, are for believers only, which is why they say, you know, they're different from natural gifts that we possess. I believe that every person that's sitting here today, if you're a believer, if you've accepted Christ as your Savior, you have spiritual gift or gifts. All right? I really believe that. And they were given to you to effectively serve the body of Christ. So it's a spiritual gift is not a natural talent. Now, sometimes your natural talent and your spiritual gift will coincide. They'll work together. All right? And so, you know, not only will you have that natural ability, but God will bring that in the spiritual sense, and it becomes even a greater gifting that you have. Sometimes they don't go together, all right? But sometimes they do. One thing about spiritual gifts is spiritual gifts are not the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit refers to those nine characteristic qualities found in Galatians chapter 5. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those are things that God wants to develop in our lives. Those are things that we live out every day. All right? So it's not a gift. Those are fruits of the Spirit, but they're not gifts of the Spirit. Okay? Fruit is something that God wants me to develop in my life, but a gift is something that he just gives to me. All right? And so, as believers, we're supposed to manifest the gifts of the Spirit in our lives. And again, it's something that we grow into. Now, I one of the things that I do when I do premarital counseling is I go to this passage and I say to the couple, now, you know, look at these fruits of the Spirit. And I want you to underline the things that really come easy to you, you know? Just say, like, patience. Most people don't sign, right? But anyhow, patience, okay? Then I say, circle the one that you have the most difficulty with. Boom, they'll circle. And I say, that's the one that God wants to develop in your life and in your relationship, you know? So, but that's not a spiritual gift. It's just fruits of the Spirit. Now, the question comes out, does every believer have spiritual gifts? I really believe there's sincere people that are sitting here or listening today that have doubts about their spiritual gifting. I really do. Sometimes you look at yourself and say, I don't feel like I have anything to give. And they see no place where they can effectively serve Christ in the church family. But I think the Bible leaves no doubt about this question. All right, so Romans 12:6 says, we have different gifts according to the grace given each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy according with your faith. 1 Corinthians 12:7 says, now to each one of the manifestations of the Spirit is given for the common good. Ephesians 4:7 says, but to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ appointed it. So it says we all have different gifts. It says to each one. It says to each one of us. So I really believe that it's very clear in Scripture that we all are gifted spiritually. In Romans, Paul uses the word gifts. He uses manifestations. He uses the word grace. All those three scriptures, they all come back to giftings. All right? So spiritual gifts are grace gifts which manifest the Spirit's working in a believer's life, and these are given to each of us. I just want to say that again because I want it to kind of resonate with you. Spiritual gifts are grace gifts which manifest the Spirit's working in a believer's life, and these are given to each of us. Okay? And so therefore, I feel very confident in saying today, without a doubt, that spiritual gifts are given to every believer. If you're a Christian today, you have a spiritual gift or gifts. As a matter of fact, you probably have more than one. I think Paul had several gifts. He was an apostleship, prophecy, teaching, tongues, evangelism, and leadership. We can see all those giftings in his life. And then it's interesting in Acts chapter 6, Philip has the gift of service. We see that. And later on in chapter 8, we see he has the gift of evangelism. And I think it's more likely that most of us have one or two dominant gifts and several lesser gifts. Now, I asked Mark Drenzik if I could use him as an example today. You guys that know Mark, okay? And the reason I picked him is because, first of all, I think he can handle it. So I said, I'm not going to tell you what I'm going to say. You'll have to wait till Sunday, all right? But I see that. He's a humble man. I think he can handle it, all right? The other thing that's amazing about him is I think he has distinct gifts that he really doesn't have the identification with. All right? What I mean is he's a total servant. So he just looks at it, okay, maybe this needs to be done and I'm just going to do it. But I want to help him today. All right? I want to show and illustrate some gifts that he has in his life in distinction. Now, if you know Mark, you probably would concur with me on this. I'll talk to his wife later, but anyhow. Mark, I believe you have the gift of encouragement, the ability to motivate God's people to apply and act on biblical principles, especially when they're discouraged or wavering in their faith, the ability to bring out the best in others and challenging them to develop their potential. Another gifting I see is hospitality, the ability to make others, especially strangers, feel warmly welcomed, accepted, and comfortable in the church family, the ability to coordinate factors that promote fellowship. The gift of mercy, the ability to manifest practical, compassionate, cheerful love towards suffering members of the body of Christ. And the gift of service, the ability to recognize unmet needs in the church family and to take the initiative to provide practical assistance quickly, cheerfully, and without a need for recognition. Now, if you know Mark, you probably would say, yes, that's him. All right? And so I'm just using him as an example because I just felt like he can handle it, and he'll be okay, all right? But thank you, Mark, for giving me, permission without, you know, most people say, well, what are you going to say, you know? But I just wanted him to hear that, you know, and to know that. Okay, so then we come to the question, when are the gifts given? And the Bible doesn't directly address this question. So I think an analogy is kind of helpful for us to understand. We receive our natural talents by virtue of our natural birth into our earthly family. And I think it makes perfect sense to say that and believe that we receive our spiritual gifts as part of our spiritual birth into the family of God. That is, spiritual gifts, I believe, are given at the moment of salvation. Because here's what happens before Christ. Before you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, your spirit was virtually dead. All right? You lived according to your flesh. You lived according to the physical. You know what I mean? And that's, you know, that's kind of how your life was run. But when you accepted Christ as your Savior, the Bible tells us the Holy Spirit came to live inside of you. All right? And I believe that's when he begins to give those gifts. And there's something that, those gifts are things that mature in our life. In Acts chapter 2, verses 38, Paul replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So I believe at that moment that you confessed Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that you were filled with the Holy Spirit and you were gifted at that point. Then we come to the question, why are the gifts given? And I think this is probably the most important question that we can answer. Why does God give us gifts? Okay? And the definition we gave earlier suggests that the basic purpose of spiritual gifts is to enable us to effectively serve the body of Christ. God has gifted us so that we can serve others. And it's really important, and it's essential that in Romans chapter 12, verses 4 through 6, it says, "For just as each one of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body. And each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to us." So if you can look at your life and even look at the life of the church, church is like a body. We have body parts. We have eyes and hands and toes and elbows and ears. We have all those things that are here that make up the body of Christ. And each body part fulfills a particular function. Your spiritual gift was given to enable you to fulfill your God-given role in the body of Christ. Let me illustrate it this way. So there's a dinner party with seven people at the dinner table. And dinner's over and the hostess goes into the kitchen and now she's bringing out dessert. And on the way out, she accidentally drops the dessert. I want to show you how these seven gifts that are found in Romans chapter 12 really are present. And they're all needed, okay? The person with the gift of prophecy would say, that's what happens when you're not careful, all right? Because the gift of prophecy sometimes points out the wrong, okay? The gift of serving would say, I'll help you clean it up, because they have the desire to meet the practical need. The person with the gift of teaching might say, the reason a tray fell is you put too many things on one side and needed to balance it more carefully. All right? The person with the gift of exhortation would say, next time you serve dessert with the meal, that way eliminates anything happening. The person with the gift of giving would say, I will buy a new dessert, and they'll use their means to meet that practical need. The person with the gift of mercy would respond by hugging the hostess and saying, it's okay, don't feel bad. It can happen to anyone. She doesn't care about the dessert. She's more concerned about how that person feels at that moment. And the gift of leading would respond to the spilled dessert by saying, Bob, you get the towels to wipe up the table. Mary, you grab the mop. And Jane, you help me fix some other desserts, because they're leaders. And so you can see how they all, with different gifting, would see the same situation. And we need all of that in the body of Christ, all right? Because we're all part of the body. We're all body parts, all right? And the Bible is real clear. It teaches that each follower of Jesus has a spiritual gift that translates into a function within the church. Your gift is to be used in the church. These gifts are for the common good of the church. They're not a special attribute of personality or special talent. It's something that God gives us, all right? This gift is a manifestation of God's Holy Spirit that really supernaturally empowers us to serve as members of the body of Christ. Well, how many gifts are there? This is an interesting question, all right? And this is a controversial question because people have been debating this for centuries, and I don't expect to really kind of finalize this today, to be honest with you. But part of the problem is that the New Testament doesn't have a unified list of gifts. There's six passages in the New Testament, It actually contains six passages that have the gifts of the Spirit. But furthermore, these gifts don't completely overlap. Sometimes you'll see one gift mentioned in one passage of Scripture, and other times you'll see the same gift mentioned multiple times. All right? Doesn't make it any less or more important. Okay? But the Bible does not kind of lock us into a tight restriction on the number of gifts or even their definitions. Now, there's four major passages that list the gifts in the Scriptures, and we won't take time to read them, but I will mention them. Romans chapter 12, verses 3 through 8, 1 Corinthians 12, 1 through 11, and 27 through 31, Ephesians 4, 11 and 12, and 1 Peter 4, 9 through 11. Okay? Now, there's other passages that mention and illustrate gifts that really aren't included in this list. And I really believe, and a lot of people believe, that that the Apostle Paul never intended to list every possible gift that could be there, but meant to list some examples of the way that the Holy Spirit gifts us. Why should you attempt to discover your spiritual gift? In one sense, this is really what this whole sermon is about. Why should I, you know, try to discover what my gifting is? There's three benefits that really need to be pointed out today. By discovering your spiritual gift, you clarify God's will for your life. Your spiritual gifts are like your personal job description from God. You discover your gifts and you begin to use them, and what you do is you begin to fulfill God's will in your life. I look at spiritual gifts and I see spiritual gifts are like a signpost that points the way towards the will of God. And like I said before, God will never call you to a position or a ministry without first giving you the gifts you need to be successful in that position. All right? God's not going to call you without equipping you. And second, by discovering your spiritual gifts, you benefit the whole church. That's why Paul points out in Ephesians 4:16, he says, from him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each does its work. Here's the amazing thing, that if we really took this serious and we really looked at and inquired about what the spiritual gifts that God had given us, and we began to use them as a body of Christ, you know something? This place would be unstoppable. It really would. And so sometimes we hold back because either we don't believe we have the gift, or we don't understand the gift, or we don't see a place where we can use the gift. All right? But let's not ignore the gifting that God has given us. All right? And see, this is really God's plan and idea for church growth. Each member using their spiritual gifts to build up the body of Christ. Man, this place would become unleashed, so to speak. All right? If we all used our gifts. And you know, it's interesting because, by the way, there's a little side note in this verse that Paul says that happens with a church that begins to use their gifts. It says that they're built up in love, which means that the spiritual gift, when properly understood and properly used, tends to promote unity in the body of Christ. No more competition, no more complaining, no more paralyzed body parts. Everybody is functioning and doing what God wants them to do. And as we all use our spiritual gifts, we grow in number, we grow in grace, we grow in love for one another. Okay, by discovering our gifts also, you glorify God. Listen to the words of 1 Peter 4, 10 through 11. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in various forms. If anyone speaks, they should speak as one who speaks for the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory and power ever and ever. Amen. In other words, God receives glory and honor when we begin to use our gifts. God is glorified when we yield ourselves to him. It brings honor to him. And I heard somebody say, God has no hands in this world except the hands of his children yielded to him. He has no feet except the feet of his children going for him. He has no lips except for the lips of his children speaking for him. He has no eyes except the eyes of his children watching for him. He has no ears except the ears of his children listening for him. See, God becomes glorified as we yield ourselves to the service and we begin to use the gift that he's given us. We are gifted children of God. Okay, so here comes the practical part, okay? What steps should I begin to take today? What should I do? What should I do with this? First of all, I would suggest that you spend time in prayer to the one who gives the gift, all right? Have a conversation with God. If you don't know what your gift is, say, God, what's my gift? Show it to me. Reveal it. I want to know what it is, all right? It's like that apprentice who who goes to the master, the one who knows how the tools work, you know, and says, hey, how does this work? How does this function? Because the master knows. And so God is the master. He knows how we're supposed to use that gift and how we're supposed to apply it into the body of Christ. Second thing I'd say, read, study the Bible. Read the passages about the gifts, okay? And this will help you kind of, you know, figure out what your gifts are and what the scriptures say about them. The third thing is take the inventory. The key to finding the areas in which the Holy Spirit seems to supernaturally empower us to serve others, take that inventory and you know, and like I said, I would suggest that you find somebody that will, you know, that you can give it to and say, hey, do me a favor, you know, and you wanna talk to somebody that, you know, is you know, has a spiritual life, all right? You wanna talk to somebody, there'll be other opportunities further down the road for you to ask people that you know, that maybe are on the same level as you, say, hey, you know, what do you see my abilities being? That'll come up in a couple of weeks. But ask someone to take it for you, all right? Open yourself up and say, hey, what do you see in my life? What do you see in my giftings, all right? And ask those who know you well. Talk to wise believers. I think that's really important. And since your spiritual gift is really to be lived out in community, what a better place to find out from others and help you discover how God has gifted you than and for his service. Listen to what others in the community of faith have to say about you as you function and as they watch you as a follower of Jesus. And the last thing I would say is serve. Jump in, get your feet wet, and start using your gift. That's what really this is all about. Find your place. Find the gifting that God has given you and begin to use that. And you know what? If you look around and you say, well, you know, I have this gift and I don't see any place in the church that I can use it. Come and talk to us, all right? We'll find a place for that to happen. If we don't have it here, we'll make it happen because I really believe that God has gifted all of us, gifted us to serve him and gifted us to serve others, all right? So that's where we're going. And you know what? This is a lifelong process. It just, God develops it as you, just like you physically matured, all right? If you would have stayed an infant and you had the, you know, the size and shape that you are today, but you still had the mind of an infant, that would be difficult, you know? But you've matured, you've grown up, you developed. And that's what God does with those gifts that he's given us. He matures them, he develops them, all right? And I want to encourage you, discover what your spiritual gift is and then find a place that you can lock in and begin to use that gift. Let's pray together. God, thank you for this time together. Thank you for your people. Thank you for your word that guides and directs us. Lord, I thank you for the challenge. Lord, the challenge of discovering our spiritual gifts. And I pray as we look to you and seek you Lord, we allow you to talk to us and show us what those gifts are. I pray that, God, that we'd make the decision to use those gifts for your honor and glory. And God, for the benefit of those around us, help us not to hold back, but to use what you've given us. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.